somebody that Jesus died upon Calvary's tree. I've got to tell somebody.
Welcome back to Getting to Know Jesus. We're so glad you could join us today for this life-changing Bible study of Jesus Christ. Do you like being called names that are derogatory? How do you feel when someone tells you that you're doing something wrong and you know that they are correct? Today we're going to continue with the main points of the preaching of John the Baptist as he's preparing the world for the coming of the Messiah. His message is getting out and he is starting to draw quite a crowd. People will travel for days to hear him. How far would you be willing to go to hear somebody tell you that you're doing something wrong and you must change your ways? We're in book 12, lesson 12 in book 4. Our scripture text is from Matthew chapter 3 and Luke chapter 3. John the Baptist is continuing to prepare the way for Jesus to come and save us from our sins. At the end of this broadcast, we will tell you how you can receive the entire Getting to Know Jesus library. Right now, we invite you to join us on another exciting adventure as we do some more Getting to Know Jesus. A preacher contracted a painter to paint the church building, and unfortunately, this painter thought he could save some money, so he put some paint thinner in the paint and spread it out and thinned it out so it wouldn't cost him as much. Well, he went out and did the painting, and when it was done, left, and the preacher came and looked over the job and said, "This is terrible." He called that painter up and said, "Repaint ye thinner." Okay, so you've heard that one before. There was once a time when hell, fire, and damnation was considered the way to preach. And there are those times and those places where it is still used effectively to reach souls and confront them with the fact that they need to change their ways and get their life right with God. The preacher would tell the people in very strong language that if they didn't repent and stop their sinful behavior, they were going to hell. This would cause many people to repent of their sins and follow God. Some simply dismissed the warning and didn't change. So no matter what style of preaching you use, there are going to be some who will still reject the message. Remember, Jesus had his enemies who listened to him preach, but they chose not to follow him. So we will not expect everybody to follow every way that we present the gospel of Christ. It is interesting to note the times down through history when people would flock to hear someone tell them that they are a sinner and that they need to change their ways. You know, if you listen to much of Billy Graham's message, of course he doesn't, he tells us the solution, but a lot of his messages centered around the fact that we're as sinners and we need a Savior. Very simple message, very effective message, and people would drive for miles to hear him preach. And of course, we're going to see in this lesson today that people would travel for days just to hear John the Baptist tell them basically the same thing, that we need to do what is right in the eyes of God. Would you be willing to travel for days just to spend a couple of hours listening to some man that's dressed weirdly call you a snake in the grass? We do not consider that as a way to win friends and influence people, and yet more than once, God has used this tactic to call his followers to repentance. Back in the Old Testament, if you read the prophecies of the prophets, they were, "You better repent and change your ways or God's going to punish you real, real bad." Very few of the prophecies were, "Oh, you're going to have a wonderful future and you're going to have a new job and you're going to have all the finances and all the, and God is going to heal you from this." Those kinds of prophecies were hardly ever found in the Old Testament. But telling us that we were sinners in need of a Savior, that's all over the place. Well, how do we confront wrongdoers? First of all, we confront sin head on. Matthew chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, and Luke chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. John is preaching the word, and he preaches that sin is wrong. You know, I remember a little quip I saw in Reader's Digest about 30-some years ago that said, most preachers agree that sin is still wrong, they just don't know what it is. And that's one of the problems that we do have in our society. Some of us have tried to say, well, if I do it, it's okay. But if you do it, it's wrong. And we seem to be able to justify what we're doing and not want to acknowledge that we have done things that are wrong and that we need to repent. But see, God sets the standards, not you or me. This is true of the Pharisees. They were trying to tell people what sin was and what sin wasn't, and they were sinning like the devil. And they justified it if they did it their way, and you were wrong if you didn't do it their way. Well, that's still true today. John calls the religious leaders that come out to hear him preach, he calls them a bunch of snakes in the grass. Now, that's kind of a low thing to call somebody, especially when you're just one man against a whole bunch of them. How do you know they're not going to get up into a big old mob and beat up on you and leave you swimming in the bottom of the Jordan River? This amounts to a rather serious insult. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, they pride themselves on being religious and a holier thou than thou, especially the Pharisees. And so they act like the most pious of the Jewish people, and yet they are the most sinful of the Jewish people. They have made their followers into hypocrites. You can read more about the Pharisees and the Sadducees on pages 13 and 14 of Book 4 in the Getting to Know Jesus series. John is telling them that their holiness is like the venom of a viper. Vipers in Judea and Galilee are very poisonous snakes. The Pharisees act as if they're the most pious, and yet they are the most sinful of the Jewish people. They've made their followers into very big hypocrites. You know, there's a warning in this for all of us, especially those of us who are in ministry. Before we can be healed of our sins, we must first admit that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And we will not be able to fight temptation until we admit that we are being tempted. We want to always keep our moral behavior right before God. It's a real tragedy when someone claims to be a Christian and yet they're engaged in behavior that would be inappropriate for a Christian to be engaged in. Jim Jones started out as a very sincere Christian at one time, but got caught up in his own ego and who knows what all else. I wasn't there to be a eyewitness or inside his head to know what all was going on with him. But he got misled. He misled a bunch of people. They went down to Jamestown in Guyana and committed mass suicide. Something is not godly about that picture. Then there's David Koresh, who again started out leading a bunch of people in a godly way, or at least that was his intent and desire. And lo and behold, got him and his followers into a very tragic situation in Waco, Texas. I just talked to some friends of mine who were attending a church where someone had come in and was trying to sell the people stock in some sort of a film production company, I think it was, with the idea that this stock would reap them back many, many, many times what they were paying for it. And they would make a lot of money. They'd be able to do a lot of things with that money. Well, I talked to them a few days ago and found out this guy was in jail for fraud. I don't know if their preacher was much a victim as they were. But it just points out that there are some people who start out good. But if we don't keep our lives right before God, and if we don't pay attention to God's word, what the Bible says, and the people that we're dealing with and following, we can just as easily get caught up in the sins of this world and pay the same consequences. So we want to be careful that, first of all, that our lives are right, and we also want to be careful who we follow, that they are living right before God also. We sometimes also want to bash other Christians because they do not conform to our interpretation or our pet doctrines, not realizing that we are just as wrong before God, if not more so, than they are. I used to spend time criticizing the people of other denominations and finding fault with them and putting them down and condemning them and judging them, only to realize later on that, you know what? Some of the things I believe, I can't preach anymore because I found out that the Bible teaches differently. And some of the things that I was putting them down for, they're struggling with their walk with God just as much as you and I are. And not a one of us has a perfect. You know what? It's times like that that I do thank God for His grace. Because He knows when we're just struggling and we're just trying to be right. And He knows when we're trying to be arrogant and haughty. See, the Pharisees were so arrogant and self-righteous that they didn't think anybody else was right. And that arrogance was a large part of their downfall. You and I must fight temptation as Christians. We must say no to sin. And since we know when we're being tempted, we have no excuse when we sin. We cannot say the devil made me do it. We cannot say, oh, it's a bad habit. We cannot say, oh, I just couldn't help myself. Because God will never allow us to be tempted beyond our strength. So we've got a battle to fight there. We must confront sin head on in our own lives, first of all, and then we can confront it in the lives of others. You see, something else that John's communicating is that there is a heaven and there is a hell. And you and I are going to determine which one we spend eternity in by the way we love Jesus and are obedient to Him. Now, it's not our righteous deeds that's going to save us. It's our obedience to Jesus Christ. When the Pharisees and Sadducees come to inquire of John, he is wise to their intentions. He knows what they're up to. And he spares no sympathy in confronting them with their sin. He tells them what they need to hear, whether that's what they want to hear or not. Well, another way thing about confronting wrongdoers is instruct the repentant in righteousness. Luke chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. The people asked John how to repent. How do we change our lives? How do we get back right with God? He says, share your worldly goods with those in need. You know, some of us are pretty affluent. It's kind of interesting to me. And this is a little sidebar, but you'll humor me in that a little bit, won't you? It is interesting to me how some people who claim that we ought to tax the rich people more and we ought to give the poor people more money aren't giving the poor people any of their money. And some of them are pretty, pretty rich. Way more money than they need. It's easy when we talk about doing it with somebody else's. It's a whole different thing when we start practicing it in our own lives. Well, enough for that. Share your worldly goods with those who have need. Don't cheat your customers or your clients in your business. He told the soldiers that they are not to extort money or accuse the people falsely. You know, our soldiers over in other countries fighting for our freedom and our safety here and to liberate the world of some tyrants that threaten everybody's safety, they could very easily use their power and their authority and their guns to have their way with the people. But if they're men of God and they're serving God as much as they're serving our country, they will not engage in that kind of behavior. Oh yes, if you look around, you've heard a few stories in the news hither and thither of one or two that have abused the power. And if you go back to the wars, World War I, World War II, Korea, all those other wars way back when, you'll see every once in a while stories of some who would abuse the power that they had as soldiers. Jesus is saying, or John the Baptist is saying, don't do that. Don't be ruthless. Don't mishandle your power. And he doesn't tell the soldiers to quit the army. He doesn't tell the soldiers that it's wrong to fight. He just tells them that you do your job and don't abuse that power and authority that you do have because you wield weapons that the common man doesn't have. The third thing about how to confront wrongdoers is to point them to Jesus. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and Luke chapter 3, verses 16 and 18 all address this subject. John the Baptist knows who he is. John the Baptist also knows who he is not. And he doesn't try to pull the wool over the people's eyes. He knows what they're asking. They're asking him, are you the Messiah? No, I'm not the Messiah. But he's coming, and he is so much more worthy than I am that I'm not worthy to even untie his shoes. Now, John is trying to use an extreme to communicate how wonderful and how powerful Jesus is. to handle someone else's shoes or to wash their feet or to untie their shoes, that was something that they couldn't even make the lowest slave do. It was just kind of a cultural custom that nobody can be forced to handle another person's feet. That means bowing down before that person. It's a manner of worship. You are higher than I, and therefore I will address your feet because I'm not worthy to embrace you or to kiss you or to anoint your head. Therefore, I will address you from your feet. Now, if you realize that when you're down washing somebody's feet or untying their shoes, you're in a position where if they had a weapon and desired to do you harm, they could very easily cut your head off, stab you in the back, do whatever they want to do in that context. Well, to John to say that I'm not even worthy to untie his feet, he's honoring Jesus. He's saying that I trust him. I love him. I would serve him. And I would not fear of him doing any harm to me whatsoever. Compared to Jesus, John's saying, I'm like a candle shining a mile away from the surface of the sun. Now, you know that if you look at the sun from the earth, and it takes 8 light minutes for the sunlight to get to earth, about 8.5, you know, and that can cause you blindness. How bright would the sun be if you were only a mile away from its surface? And if you were to flick a candle, if you were able to flick a candle, it'd be so hot a mile away, the candle would melt and burn, and you would too before you could even get the first flick on it. But if you were to try to light a candle in front of the sun, you think anybody's going to see it? That's kind of the extremism we're trying to compare as to how great the Son of God is over anyone and everyone else you want to compare him with. Jesus has a baptism that is far more significant than John's baptism. See, John is baptizing people as a sign that they are repenting of their sins. In other words, they're saying, I'm a sinner and I admit it, and I am going to start being aware of temptation and saying no to it instead of being aware of temptation and giving in to it. The attitude of many people today is, oh, tempt me, please, tempt me. We turn on television shows that show women in near nudity, and we drool over that instead of saying, oh, how shameful, turn this off. Some of us watch sitcoms and movies or read books that have marriage and sexuality depicted in a way that, you got to be having sex with somebody or something's wrong with you. And we don't realize that the power that has on us as Christians and how we're misinfluencing our lives. And what kind of a witness are we when we're watching shows that degrade marriage and degrade the sexual relationship between a husband and wife, and then we go to church and we try to pretend that we're godly Christians? Jesus' baptism, as compared to John's baptism, is a baptism of saying, you have acknowledged that you're a sinner, that I am your Savior, and you're going to follow me. That's Jesus speaking, not Glenn. You're going to follow Jesus. Now, that makes a lot of difference. The baptism was the same. I mean, as far as going down in the water, being laid down and raised back up. But what it symbolizes means so much more. When you get to reading the book of Acts after you finished getting to know Jesus, you're going to see how the people that were baptized with John's baptism weren't complete in their salvation and obedience to God until they were immersed with Jesus' baptism or immersion. Well, Jesus will reward the righteous with an eternal reward John couldn't give them. He'll punish sinners and hypocrites with a punishment that John could only tell them about, far worse than being called a snake in the grass. Jesus' judgment will separate the lost from the saved. The lost will be burned in hell. The saved will be gathered into the barn in heaven. And we have an exciting future because we have our hope in Jesus. All the more reason why we want to become aware of when we're being tempted. Ask God to help you be aware and realize that right now I'm being tempted. This is an honest-to-goodness temptation. And some of us are going to say, you know what, I need to quit looking for temptation. Quit going to those places on the internet. Quit going into those bars or those businesses that exploit women for men's pleasure. Quit going to those places that are going to destroy your marriage and your home or your relationship with your wife and your family or your husband and your family. Quit going and engaging in those activities that are destroying your body or interfering and taking you away from your relationship with God. Because I guarantee you, you can have the best time at some party getting drunk and go to hell. Or you can say, I don't do those things anymore. And you can go to parties where there isn't drinking. And you can go to parties and not drink and not get drunk. And you don't have to worry about the consequences of doing things that drunk people do. And you can say no to those temptations and be a part of God's kingdom. One thing is, we'll see again and again, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and we determine which one we will spend eternity in by what we decide about Jesus. We believe that in prayer, and we'd like to know how we can be praying for you. So please write us or call us. Let us know what you think about our program, and let us know how we can pray for you. Meanwhile, God bless you and have a great week. Preparing the people for the coming of the King is a very important and special task. Are you being convicted by any of John's preaching? We want to confess and get rid of any sin in our lives so that we will be ready when Jesus comes again. If we die before he comes, we won't have any second chance to go back and make things right. Repaint, you thinner, and you will not have to worry about when or how Jesus will come for you. This Getting to Know Jesus lesson is a part of a complete weekly Bible study lesson series of the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. We go through every event in Jesus' life and see how Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have to say about it and then how it applies to our lives today. We've compiled these lessons into study booklets complete with the Bible text with the words of Jesus in red, verse-by-verse commentary, discussion and homework questions, maps, and a full-color photograph pertaining to that event in every lesson. To receive these books, get a pencil and paper, and we will give you the phone number and address in just a moment. We want to thank you for joining us for the Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study Radio program. This program is supported by the prayers and gifts of listeners like you. If you would like to make a donation using your credit card and help us stay on this station, you can call us Monday through Friday during California business hours at 1-877-44-JESUS. That is 1-877-445-3787. If you call us on Sunday, you'll find us in church worshiping Jesus, but leave your phone number and we will get back to you as soon as we can on Monday. In the Los Angeles, California area, you can dial 1-310-542-1711. Thank you for your letters of support and encouragement. Please pray for us and send your gift to New Hope Gospel Ministries at Post Office Box 14505 in Torrance, California, 90503. You can make a donation by going to www.gettingtoknowjesus.org and clicking on the PayPal donate button. If you visit our website, you can learn more about the Getting to Know Jesus Bible Study series and about some videos, books, and other items that we have to help you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ. We also have a message board where you can talk about Jesus and what he means to you and ask a question about Jesus or share your views on this lesson or current news events and comment on those of others. Visit us at www.gettingtoknowjesus.org. Remember that this recording is copyrighted. That means you can make as many copies as you like and give them to your friends. Just don't sell them to anyone else. Thank you for listening. Come back next week as we continue on our journey, getting to know Jesus.